Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Welcome to Fantasy Fridays on the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader, and I will not be providing you with any fantasy advice. Oh no, that is not my job on this podcast. No, this is all about the daily game. So if you're playing on FanDuel or DraftKings or on a website like that, our super fans for the Giants and the Bills, that's Sam and Rob, they play these games quite a bit. They have quite a number of insights for you, and they're going to share their thoughts with you in just a moment. But first, before we get to them, time to peel back the curtain. This was recorded before the game finished on Thursday night, so I have no idea how the game ended, so I will not be able to provide you with my reaction to the Thursday night game. However, we will have plenty of reaction, I'm sure, coming up next Thursday based on what the outcome was from last night's game. And I'm really hoping that the Jets lost, because I've got that 0-7 thing going for me. All right. Hey, email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You could tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can always check out all of our previews on our Facebook page, facebook.com/nextfanup. Subscribe to the show on iTunes so you don't miss any of our podcasts. On Wednesday, I interviewed Jarrell Presley, the former, now future running back for the Green Bay Packers. If you're going to have to listen to both Wednesday and Thursday to figure out what I'm talking about there. Joel Hennard of Fantasy Insiders. He also had some fantasy insights, more so from a redraft perspective. We're in the Blog Talk Radio Expert League. So we talked a little bit about what's going on in that league. So we give you an update there. And we also previewed every single Sunday game on our Thursday preview show. We do that every week. It's a big one, so give yourself some time to listen to that. And of course, now we have Fantasy Fridays coming up and all the recaps first thing Monday morning. Subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review, we love to read them, and share with a buddy because we love for the show to grow. And while you're sharing with a buddy, don't forget you can place bets now online. Yes, go to betdsi.com, put in our promo code FANUP10, and you'll get a free $10 when you play. That's right. Not only that, they give you 100% bonus on your first deposit. How great is that? Free money. And when you do so, you know it's safe because this is a business that's been in business for over 20 years. They're top rated. It's easy to use. They've got great customer service, so they'll help you out if you have any problems. They have fast payments on your winnings, and you can bet on hundreds of different NFL wagers. We talked in the Thursday game about some over-unders that you might want to consider. And you can even bet on the upcoming election. Remember, we fully endorse none of the above. I don't believe that's an option on BetDSI.com, but if it was, that's where I'd place your money. Go to BetDSI.com, place your bets, and use our promo code FANUP10 to get a free $10 when you play. All right, let's get to Fantasy Friday now. Here's Sam and Rob.
Welcome back to the Next Fan Up Fantasy. Unlike the ESPN Fantasy app, we'll be here for you every week without any troubles. I am joined by Robert, the Bill Superman. How's it going today, Robert?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. How are you doing?
You know, listen, as long as I don't have to log into the ESPN Fantasy app, it's a good day. Do you play any fantasy leagues on ESPN?
The only fantasy league that I play on ESPN is actually the league that we're both in, which is the Superfan Dynasty League.
Exactly, yeah. I can't believe that ESPN dropped the ball so hard that they were out of coverage for 6 hours on the first opening Sunday of the season.
That's crazy to me to think as much as they kind of use fantasy football as a backbone in this. I mean, they did a marathon of fantasy football literally, 2 weeks ago. So it's obviously a big part of their coverage, and to not anticipate the amount of people that were going to be logging in and using their stuff during the first week of the season to drop the ball like that is pretty funny. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I always use the My Fantasy League stuff. I like what they do.
Well, thankfully, unlike ESPN, Next Fan Up is here for you every week, multiple times a week, to give you the latest and breaking news in the NFL. So, Rob, let's talk fantasy this week. This week we decided to, you know, give the Next Fan Up listeners a little breakdown to how we enter different leagues this week. And, Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about your strategy joining 50-50 leagues versus, you know, tournament leagues versus multipliers. What do you think when you're picking your teams?
The way I do it personally, I try to discipline myself as far as first off, just a regular strategy to get, if I'm looking to kind of grind it out and, you know, win a couple bucks week after week, you know, I'm going to enter those 50-50s, those heads up. The payout opportunities are just better. Obviously, there's not the $1 million prize in those, but, you know, in those tournaments, it's tougher to cash out. I believe it's the top 20% are going to hit, whereas those other type of leagues where you'll see maybe 11 people, you know, the top five hit, you're looking at like a 45%, you know, opportunity to double your money in that given league. That being said, I think that some of your money and those type of leagues, I do tend to, you know, when I set my lineup, play it a little safe. You know, I'm trying to reach, when I'm building my lineups, you know, a certain amount of points. For me, I'm always trying to hit 120. Is kind of feel like if I hit 120 points, I'm probably going to do good enough in that league to make the money, shall we say. That being said, I do always earmark a couple, a little bit of my bankroll for the week in those big tournament games, because it would be silly to not get into those, because that's where the, you know, the life changing money is, and those lineups are kind of where I'll take my chances, because 120 might win you that $10 and that $5, you know, 50-50. But if you want to, you know, catch that big fish, you're going to need a 200-point week. So you got to take chances, play players that have high upside that also might not have high ownership. You know, someone, you know, if you can hit on someone that has like a 4 or 5% ownership and he pops for a 30-point week, that's going to really put you in the driver's seat. So you need to take chances in those leagues.
Yeah. If you think you have any sleepers out there, I would advise playing them in a tournament rather than a 50-50, because in the tournament, it doesn't matter whether you finish first or 40th. You're winning the same amount of money. So you're trying to kind of hit around that 47, in a 100-person pool, you're trying to hit around that 40th position, because if you finish in first, all you do is win the same amount of money. So you're taking less risks on the 50-50. And I think if you have any sleepers out there, NFU Nation, I would play those in tournaments, because exactly what Rob was saying. You, in tournaments, you want somebody who's 4 or 5% owned. This way, if he hits big, you know, you're at a big advantage in the tournament, rather than the 50-50. Even if you finish in the number one position, you're only winning the same amount of money that somebody in the 47th position is winning in. So, you know, if you're playing tournaments, I would advise going high risk, high reward. But if you're playing in tournaments, you kind of want to aim for that 115, 120 point marker that Rob was saying earlier. And Rob, what contests are you playing this week that you're suggesting to the NFU Nation?
What's that?
What contests are you playing in that you're suggesting that you're putting forth your lineup for NFU Nation this week? What kind of contests are you playing in?
Yeah, the way I have it set up this week, I'm playing mostly 50-50s. I am going to be playing on DraftKings. I am going to be playing. I'm going to put 25 in their big tournament, and I'm playing in another one of those. But for the most part, just about all of my bankroll is going in 50-50s.
Yeah, I mean that's what the smart investor does. I think what FanDuel and DraftKings is, they try to get you in these $1 tournaments where they have 375,000 participants, where, you know, the sharks are out there playing 700 lineups at a time, knowing they're going to win a decent amount, and the casual player is playing one lineup where, you know, chances are they're not winning, or if they do win, they're tied with a bunch of other people. So, and if you want to make money, you play in a bunch of 50-50 or multiplier pools. I think that's the really only way to make money on these daily fantasy sites.
Yeah, I agree. You got to be prepared to just grind it out. Last week I had, you know, I think I had 34 different lineup or 34 different games I was in. You know, this week I'm just taking, I won a little bit of money. I didn't win a ton, but it's a grind. This week I'm going to be in about, I believe, 51 games. And, you know, hopefully if things continue to go my way by the end of the season, I'll have Christmas money.
Well, listen, Robert, let's see what you're planning on doing with your Christmas money early in the season. And let's talk about your quarterback for your most suggested lineup for this week. Who's that going to be this week?
This week, actually, not to talk your team up, but I'm a huge fan of Eli
Manning. Don't do it, Robert.
I'm sorry.
We're going to be in agreement all week. It's not good for the listeners.
Well, you know what? It's easy money when you see someone play in New Orleans. Eli Manning's only $8,100 on FanDuel. I think he matches or exceeds the numbers that David Carr put up last week. He was on the road. The Giants are going to be at home. There's a couple quarterbacks I like. You know, Matt Stafford, I think, is a fun play for $7,800. Another one I really like at $7,400 is Joe Flacco. He's playing Cleveland. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz, who was injured all, you know, for a good chunk of preseason, you know, came in and had a great game against Cleveland, you know, with not really a ton of weapons. Now we get to see, you know, a veteran quarterback who has some weapons at wide receiver, what he could do. So I think there's some points to be found in, those games.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Manning is definitely my top quarterback for the week. It's tempting to play guys against the Browns. It's Flacco this week is very tempting, but even with the Ravens, I just feel kind of, you know, it's not the sexy pick, Flacco, this week. So I'm also going with Eli Manning in most of my 50-50 multiplier contest. At running back, though, it's been a very interesting position all season. I mean, it's been a very short season, but I've been confused all season. This week, I'm going with Shane Vereen out of the Giants. I just think he's going to take over most of their running and passing duties. Just he's the only one that was affected this past week. And then on the same theme, I'm picking Mark Ingram. Giants cannot defend against the running back out of the backfield. I think he's ripe for the picking to have 7 or 8 receptions for 60 yards in addition to all his running or passing touchdowns and his running yards. I just think that that's where you want a running back. He's only 7,000, which may seem like a lot, but I think he's a tier one running back this week, so that's really a bargain. What do you think at running back?
The running back I like the most is C.J. Anderson. He's going for $7,800. I think that he's going to have a, you know, top five running back season. They're going to be back to, you know, last year they ran kind of a weird Kubiak-Manning hybrid offense. This year it's all Kubiak, so it's that zone run. And as we've seen when he was the OC in Denver, whoever is the running back in that offense gets the ball, gets it a lot, and usually puts up a lot of points. Indianapolis does not have a good run defense. I think C.J. Anderson at $7,800 is a steal. I have him as like my number two running back just overall this week. Another one that I like is actually in your division, Ezekiel Elliott. He's playing Washington. You can get him for $7,900. And Washington has had trouble all year last year stopping the run, their first game this year. And D'Angelo Williams, I think, hit him for 130. I could be wrong on that number, but he definitely went over 100. You know, he scored. So I'm expecting maybe a similar game out of Ezekiel Elliott behind that big old offensive line in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is definitely tempting. He had a bad week last week, but the Giants seem to plan to take away his run. I'm curious to see how defenses play him the rest of the year, whether or not they're going to stack the box and really force Dallas to throw. So I'm kind of a little wary on Ezekiel Elliott. I've been trying to put most of my money into receivers because, you know, running backs, there seems to be a ton of running backs that all are in the same range. So for receivers this week on this team that I'm playing in a 50-50, I've taken Odell Beckham, Kelvin Benjamin, and Amari Cooper. And, you know, this is the same team. I think Odell Beckham's going to, without Delvin Bro, that New Orleans defense has no chance of stopping Odell. Kelvin is a number one receiver against San Francisco. I think they proved they can stop the run with Gurley this past week. I expect Carolina to challenge them through the air, challenge that secondary. I expect Kelvin Benjamin to have a big game. And Amari Cooper is David Carr's favorite option. He's playing Atlanta, and Atlanta has, for the past 5 years, slowly and slowly declined to the point where the only reason they're being projected for 8 or 9 wins this season is solely on reputation, and that team is slowly and slowly cratering, and it's going to happen at one point. I think this is the season. I think Amari Cooper has another big week, and those are my receivers. I take the number one wide receivers who are at least going to get, you know, 9 or 10 targets a game. So in the 50-50, I've at least hit the baseline. What do you think of a receiver, Bill?
All right. Well, I'm not going to give my number one because you've already talked about him. I think the obvious play is an Eli Manning, Odell Beckham stack play. And we talked about stack plays last week. Other receivers that I like, though, Alshon Jeffrey going against Philadelphia. I'm not a believer in Philadelphia's pass defense. I think Jay Cutler could hit him up a little bit. I think Alshon Jeffrey is in line to have a big game. I also, in that same game, like the number one receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jordan Matthews, who's only coming in at $6,900. I think that I think that Chicago could win this game. I think that Philly could be playing from behind a little bit on the road. I think they're going to be throwing a little bit more. I think this is a team that's going to throw anyway, just from that kind of West Coast style offense they run. And Jordan Matthews is the clear number one target there. So I think he's going to be he'll get a lot of that love. So I think he could put up numbers. I like DeAndre Hopkins playing against Kansas City. I think he could the way they kind of move him around. And now that he has a complementary weapon with Will Fuller there, I think that he could put up some numbers. And the last play I like that's a little bit of a lower end money-wise, Jarvis Landry is only $6,500. And I just think that's value. They're playing New England. There's a good shot that they're going to need be a couple touchdowns, you know, behind at some point, and they're going to be throwing. And unlike real football, garbage time can be your friend in a daily fantasy, just like regular fantasy football. So if he's catching passes in the fourth quarter, they count just the same.
Yeah, I would argue that if you can somehow guess the garbage time is for every team, it pays to pick garbage time receivers just because exactly what you said, the yards and the touchdowns count the same amount of points whether they happen in a close game or a blowout. So if you're just looking at a team that's going to be down 14 to 21 points in the late third or fourth quarter, you can expect those receivers to really deliver on fantasy value. For tight end, though, this week, Bill, I don't know how you feel. I'm taking Gary Barnidge. He had a 0 week last week, no receptions, no touchdowns. But as fantasy players, sophisticated fantasy players will know that Gary Barnidge produces when he's playing with Josh McCown, who is the Cleveland Browns quarterback this week. So at $6,000 on FanDuel, he's been the tight end I've been targeting in most of my 50-50s or tournament plays because he's undervalued and he's going to be targeted a lot this week.
Nice. I like that. All the tight ends that I like are very low value, are very low as far as cost, but, you know, good value. I like Antonio Gates for $5,900 going against Jacksonville. I also, the one that I like a lot, is Virgil Green playing against Indianapolis for Denver. $4,600, Virgil Green. I believe saw 5 targets against a very tough on a tight end Carolina defense in week one. Kubiak's offense loves to go to the tight end, especially in the red zone. And with Simeon still being, you know, a very green quarterback, it's going to be a very, you know, disciplined offense and Kubiak's going to do what he wants to do. There's not going to be too much coloring outside of the lines. So I think that Denver's going to score this game. And I think that there's good opportunities for Virgil Green to, you know, to put a touchdown on. And I think, you know, for $4,600, he's going to really give you value as far as how many points he's going to give you for the money that you're investing.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. If you're playing any tournaments, I think Virgil Green has a real consideration for your tight end slot. Although, I don't know if you would agree with me, but on 50-50 pools, Virgil Green seems like a bust move, like a all-or-nothing move, where if you're playing in 50-50, I don't know if you would go with rather a safer tight end that will at least guarantee you 8, 9, 10 points rather than Virgil Green, who may give you 14 or 2. You don't know. So that's the difference we were talking about earlier between picking 50-50 and tournament or multiplier teams. It's, you know, the risk versus the guaranteed return on every player for their salary. I guess that's why daily fantasy is tough, because you never know.
No, right. And the thing is, and with a tight end like Virgil Green, who you're able to get at that very low value one, he's probably not going to be a tight end that's owned by 20% of the population that you're playing against. And two, if he does hit, and I think there's a reasonable expectation that he might, maybe I believe in Denver's offense a little bit more than most people, but I think that, you know, if he hits and you're able to get, you know, that touchdown 40 yards and, you know, four catches, now you have a lot of money freed up because you didn't go for one of the higher end tight ends, and you're able to stack, you know, a $9,400 wide receiver like Odell Beckham with his $8,100 quarterback. So it gives you opportunities to hit in that regard as well.
Exactly. And that's the balance that every fantasy player or daily fantasy player has to be comfortable with. It's the risk versus the reward. And, you know, if you're a less risk adverse player, then you're going to be playing those 50-50s and trying to keep all your players around the same value so you return a baseline, versus a tournament where it doesn't really make sense to play unless you're taking those big risks to win the big money. And Bill, let's give some quick advice to that NFU Nation out there. What's the one player that you're seeing in all your lineups this week?
The one player that I'm seeing in all my lineups is, you know what, it's probably CJ Anderson. I'm going to be using a lot of him at the run. There's a lot of running backs I like in varying degrees this week, but any of my contests that maybe I'm in a little bit of a higher bracket on as far as, you know, money to get in those 50-50s, I'm probably going to be using CJ Anderson. I really like his value against a bad defense. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that they've had an extra couple days to prepare for that bad defense. It's a coach that likes to run the ball, and playing a team that hasn't had any recent success at stopping it.
Yes, and keeping the theme at running backs this week, if you want CJ Anderson, who's a little more expensive, I would advise pairing him with Shane Vereen. He is going to be an integral part of the Giants' offense this season. And at $5,100, you know, if he's just 5 receptions for 60 yards, a few runs for 35 yards and a touchdown, he's already returning on his value and allows you to spend more on even the running backs you want, whether it be Mark Ingram on the Saints or whether it be C.J. Anderson on the Broncos. And then it allows you to spend that wide receiver. And that's what you're really looking for when you play the tournaments or the high-leverage games, is somebody who is a little less valued but is going to return high on the dollar per point, you know, ratio.
Right.
I wish NFU fantasy luck. I mean, that's all we really need, because you can have the perfect lineup on Wednesday and Sunday at 2:30. You know, it's all gone to shit. So
no, it's the thing. It's really the big tournaments, the ones where you're having, you know, 250, 300,000 people in it. It's really just a game of bingo. It's fantasy strategy, but I mean, let's be honest, it's bingo, because the person who's winning this is the person who went pretty close to perfect. And if you went pretty close to perfect, you got lucky. I mean, it's bingo.
Yeah. I mean, who would expect Jack Doyle on the Indianapolis Colts to catch two touchdowns this past week? Yeah, I mean, that's why we play fantasy. It breaks our heart every week, but those few times that it delivers, it makes you happier than your team winning that week, honestly. I mean, when you have those magical fantasy or fantasy weeks where everything goes right, it's a different feeling.
Exactly. Do you have any players you're trying to avoid this week?
I don't know. Last week I tried avoiding Brandon Cooks, and that seems to...
And that Sorry seems to bring backfire. Up old wounds.
Yeah. It's rough. I mean, I like Alshon Jeffrey at 7,800. I like Wesley Sneed at 7,200. I don't know. People hate week one, week two is rough because you see those bounce backs on receivers. I think Wes Snead was going to the low 6,000 last week, and he made a big jump. It's these few weeks are how quickly you can recognize inconsistencies in the data, because by week four, week five, there's almost no room for error. The sharps have nailed down exactly what everybody's going to do, and they're remarkably accurate. So if you think you're a confident player and you think you're really good at fantasy, until week four is the week you got to play, because values are bouncing around.
All right, so there's Sam and Rob with their daily fantasy insights. Go ahead and give it a shot. Let us know how you do. Send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. I'd love to hear how these shows are doing for you. Let me know what other content do you want to hear from us? Because we've got plenty of it for you. And, of course, you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. Follow our previews on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. And we will be back again with our recap show for you first thing Monday morning. Look forward to hearing from you, talking to you, seeing you, all that good stuff. Here's Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.
Hello, Ava Jane.
Why is it recording?
Because I still got to record my ending.
Make it blah, 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 blah.